Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me this week is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm getting ready for the holidays, celebrating my birthday. Just living.
Just living. Yeah. What are you doing to get ready for the holidays?
Put up my Christmas tree and decorated it because I'm not waiting. Like, life is so just... Did it with the kids. It was really cute. And they keep taking down ornaments and playing with them. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's cute. It's nice. started shopping. Man. I got my daughter a Spider-Man plushie that, like, you turn it inside out and it's a Spider-Man hoodie. Because she's my daughter and she loves Spider-Man. And I had nothing to do with that.
I'm sure the apple didn't fall far.
No. She watched me play about half of Miles Morales' Spider-Man on my PlayStation, which I beat that game in 2 days, and it's really fun. If you've never played the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game, it's basically the best video game ever, best superhero video game ever made. It's so cool. And this new one is basically like an expansion on that one. Like, they took the map and they just like updated it and then made the main character someone new and made a new story. So it's kind of strange. Like, you'll see buildings from the first game where you're Peter Parker, but now you're Miles Morales and the story's different. And like, it's winter time. So like, the story begins like on Christmas Eve. And so it's very cool. Like, you get to see the city differently and, it really is just an expansion to the first game. So they charged like $50 instead of $60. But it's great. I love it. It's well worth it. How about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, I tried to do, Brian had his, so first of all, an apology to everyone, I'll shoulder the blame on having sporadic episodes. I've been training people. New employees, and then also Brian had his 40th birthday this last weekend, and I tried to do some stuff so that he wouldn't have just like a complete crap birthday, and it was a little bit of a struggle because he's felt like he's been in a more of a high risk group for the pandemic, and so he's spends 98% of his time at home, and so we went out and tried to do some stuff, and like, it just ratcheted up his anxiety anytime we saw people that like weren't using masks properly or stuff like that, or physical distancing, etc., to the point where he just wasn't really able to enjoy himself. And so it kind of sucks, but it just kind of is what it is right now.
Yeah, no. And you know what? When I see someone like not wearing a mask correctly or just not wearing a mask, like I get the same instinct where I'm like, oh, oddly enough, last week we had another COVID scare. My wife's coworker tested positive for COVID after she visited her child who had COVID and was coughing and sick. And then she went to work for like 3 days, knowing that she had visited a sick person. And so like everything had to shut down and we had our, God, I feel like it's our fifth or sixth COVID scare at this point.
Yeah.
But, everybody else tested negative, so that's good.
Well, good. Huzzah.
Yay.
But enough about us. We had a
so much news
cool
today.
Video that came as a surprise. I guess we can talk about this, and then we can talk about the other news with Atomic Mass that came out this week.
There are three pieces of news we have to talk about. Which one do you want to go first?
I want to talk about the video that dropped today that took everyone by surprise.
That video, yeah. After
so much so that Pagani was like, it's like, I didn't even know about that video.
Yeah, he was like, he goes like, yeah, I laughed. That's funny. I didn't know about it. So if you haven't seen it yet, go to their YouTube channel, go to their Facebook and watch. But this is a hilarious way to show off Deadpool. Deadpool's coming packaged with a taco truck and Hydra Bob, who, Jay, you probably don't know who Hydra Bob is.
No.
It's like a joke character. He like befriended a Hydra agent named Bob in the Deadpool comics, and it was like one run of Deadpool, and I don't think that character has ever come back since then. But it's just like, it's a popular, funny character. So Deadpool's going to be like a big box character. And honestly, I'm not as excited about Deadpool as I am about the other things that they showed off. Mr. Sinister, which is awesome. They showed off Cable and Domino, who have incredible models. And they showed off Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch being in a two-pack, which I'm just so excited for them. That's such a cool, like, set of releases.
Yeah, so I guess some of my thoughts on it. I don't know much about Sinister. Is it Mr. Sinister or Sinister?
It alternates. I think most of the time it's Mr. Sinister.
Okay. It's unfortunate that they didn't say, like, Dr. Sinister. That's Dr. Sinister.
He was a doctor, too. He was actually... Yes! So his origin places him... He's a contemporary of Charles Darwin. He's like an evolutionary scientist at that era.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, he becomes obsessed, and like his child dies and his wife hates him, and he does like human experiments, and like he studies like the X gene. He's the one who, like, I think he first discovered it, and he called it like the Essex gene or something, because his name was Nathaniel Essex. And then, by the way, the Essex Corporation is the bad guys in New Mutants and in Logan. So, like, they've been trying to, like, put Sinister into the movies or, like, hint that he'd be showing up. So that's kind of cool. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so I liked his sculpt. I'm very excited for Scarlet Witch and for Quicksilver. Another thing I thought was cool was that, you know, the video that they did had a bunch of Deadpool breaking the fourth wall in the video that they made. And then they showed off like some of the sculpts and options that they had with him that just seemed really cool and really like in fitting with him as a character. And so it feels like they just like basically nailed Deadpool, which I thought was really exciting.
Yeah, they really went above and beyond. He's got like four heads. He has like a cartoon. He has like text because he's like standing on a missile with like cartoon text or not if you don't want it. So like you can make it as silly as you want. I mean, I'm going the heart eyes and like the big whoosh on the rocket. Like that's so funny. I'm all in.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be the same way. And then the sculpt for Cable was just, it looks fantastic.
I saw someone posted like comparing it to one of the Space Marine heroes just because he's got the same level of like chunk and like the big giant gun and everything. And I was just like, Cable is kind of like a Space Marine. he's got like the techno-organic virus upgrades, and he's got tons of like advanced technology from the future. So it fits. I like it. Domino is standing on an explosion. Like she's like coming, like the explosion like isn't touching her because she's so lucky, and she's like just being blasted forward by it.
Would you I guess I you're a moderator on Facebook. I fortunately no longer have Facebook. But some of my friends have said that there have been a fair number of people complaining about the taco truck or about the Deadpool box.
I've seen some, yeah. It's the same, and it's the same complaints people had about Thanos, in that they're saying, like, why sell Thanos with the ultimate encounter and the terrain? Can I just buy Thanos by himself? Kind of, which I think is fair feedback, except, like, they wanted to make Thanos an ultimate encounter, so they included the big chair and the scenario that uses it, and, like, they made it this big set piece. But I think it's fair criticism to say, like, I don't want to do that. But I mean, I have trouble saying, like, it's a bad thing, because I like the ultimate scenarios a lot. And so I hope that we get, like, a funny Deadpool crisis that is, like, not a legal crisis or something. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess my thoughts on it are that, like, I haven't played the Thanos Ultimate Encounter since playtesting it, and I honestly don't know how much it's changed, if any.
Changed a lot,
partially because I knew that when we were playtesting it had tons of iterations, but right now there's not it's something that I would do as, like, a Saturday event at my store or something, but we're not doing events at my store, and so, you know, that's just not what's happening right now. It just feels like, yes, I understand that it is a higher price point, but even without playing any of the Ultimate Encounter yet, I still felt like he was a pretty good value for what you got. I mean, yeah. The throne was super cool, and, like, having the multiple poses, you know, etc. Like, I still thought that it was a decent value.
Yeah, I really liked. I think there's a lot of people who, you know, just want to spend the bare minimum amount of money that they need to spend to play the, like, list, right, they want to play. Yeah. And I think for people who are, I mean, Jay, you and I buy everything, right? Like, we have, right, everything, and that's, yeah, and that's who we are, right? For our reasons. And I think to like have someone be like, well, I don't want this second character, or I don't want this terrain that comes with it, or I don't care about this ultimate, right, scenario. It is like, yeah, it's the way they've packaged it. And there are many reasons, right? Like, I don't have this from them, but, like, one of the reasons could be to reduce, like, what models there are on the shelves, because the more like different SKUs you have, the harder they are to keep in stock. And this game has a rapid pace of releases, so, like, they don't want to.
I mean, the other aspect of it, though, is that, and granted, you know, I'm biased as from being part of this industry, but like, I have two cats that want to eat, and I want them to be able to eat too, mm-hmm, and the best way for that to happen is for me to sell items that are worth more money. Mm-hmm. And ideally, Atomic Mass will, if they'll create an item that finds the balance of an increased price, but also still feeling like it's a good value,
yeah,
and people aren't feeling ripped off. But, like, there's an obvious business incentive for Atomic Mass to create an item that costs more money.
Yes, and I think seeing Thanos and Deadpool in those packs that cost more money is not, like, a coincidence or anything. I also don't think it's...
Correct.
I also don't think they're... Someone used the word, like... It's like... I forget what word they used, but it's like they're not, like, ransoming off this character. It's that they're trying to sell you a box that is worth, like, a premium, and it's so... I hope...
Correct.
And
it's like a premiere.
Yeah, and I hope that Atomic Mass Games steps up. And I think with the Thanos pack, people at first were like, it's not worth it. And then it's absolutely worth it. It's an amazing model. It had, you know, like, the Thanos pack had two heads and two fists. And then, like, this, mm-hmm, this set, you know, this looks even more.
Goes way beyond.
Goes way beyond.
And the taco truck looks awesome.
It looks like a very cool piece of terrain. Hydra Bob is a hilarious addition. Someone said, like, I bet he's just in the ultimate scenario, and I really hope Hydra Bob isn't just in the ultimate. Like, that would be unfortunate. Give me a moment, Jay. I have to go for a second. I'm sorry about that. Where were we?
We were just talking about the kit for Deadpool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I guess my closing thought is, like, I don't want to sound like condescending or that their concerns aren't valid, because, like, I've had points in my life where I've had to budget really hard to be able to make a hobby purchase, mm-hmm. et cetera, right? And so I get it. But I guess my hope is that people will give them a shot, or like, I really do think that the Thanos box was an example of them doing this successfully, and I suspect / hope that the Deadpool box will be kind of the same way.
Yeah. Right now, we only know the three models. Let's see what else is in the box.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, we still don't know the price point, to my knowledge.
No, we don't. I mean, you would know, right?
So, well, we would like to think so, but the methods of communication sometimes are great and mysterious. Okay, so there is news item number one. News item number two. Let's talk about.
I wanted to bring up the affiliation list.
Okay,
awesome. So they updated the affiliation lists. Some interesting points. Storm is in Wakanda. She was married to T'Challa, and she's been a part of that, you know, team for a minute, about 10 years actually. She's been involved with T'Challa. Wolverine was added to Defenders. Wolverine and Beast have been added to Avengers. And then Magneto, Mystique, and Sabretooth were added to Cabal. So it's pretty cool. But the biggest news, in my point of view, is Daredevil has been added to Web Warriors, which is amazing. It's causing me to shift my entire roster around, because I think it lets you do it fixes Web Warriors' biggest weakness, which is that they have problems with Criminal Syndicate, and like maybe Asgard and Black Order in Gamma. And I think this is going to fix them against Criminal Syndicate for sure. He's so good. Daredevil with all webbed up is bae. We'll have to.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play much of Daredevil. I've played against him some. But I read through his card, and I basically think, like, he seems like a fine 4-point character, but I don't really necessarily see too many reasons to be, like, amped about him beyond, like, in certain affiliations or certain, you know, situations, which makes sense that you could be cool or be excited about him in Web Warriors, because that's kind of what I was just talking about, right?
And he's very much a tech piece in Web Warriors, which is fine, right? I'm excited. So why don't you introduce the third piece of news?
Yeah, so we had some news. Asmodee, or Atomic Mass, did a tweet where they did basically a press release where they said that Atomic Mass has taken over development for Star Wars X-Wing, Legion, and Armada. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it said that they are going to be in charge of all future miniatures games from Asmodee. So I was pretty excited about that. I know there's, you know, there were some people that were let go with the development of like Star Wars Legion, etc. And I honestly, I don't have any idea how those decisions were made, etc. And then some of the fans are a little bit on edge because of that, which I can understand or appreciate. But I just feel like Atomic Mass has done such a great job. I'm super excited to see what it can be done with it. And I guess this is just me looking on the outside, looking in, but it feels like some of late, it feels like some of the Star Wars miniature games haven't met their potential. And certainly as a retailer, you know, there was this huge like surge of X-Wing that sold in first edition. And I don't know that was necessarily sustainable forever, but it just in general, it seems like the Star Wars sales of all of the Star Wars miniatures games have not been, I wouldn't say that they've been bad per se, but it doesn't feel like they have met their potential, which is I had already said. So I don't know. I am excited about it, and it's interesting. Asmodee, one of the miniatures games that they previously released and that was a flop and is now dead is the Rune Wars miniatures game. And you know, it's interesting to think, you know, what might have been if Atomic Mass had been involved, or if, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and what future projects might be. They did a Q&A of Will Schick and the head of Studio Simone. I can't remember her last name. And they talked about how, you know, they're currently thinking about new Star Wars projects and stuff like that. So I think the future is bright, but I've talked a lot. Greg, what do you think? What do you have to contribute?
No, I mean, so I played Star Wars Legion pretty casually at the beginning. I basically had, you know, two starter boxes worth of Empire that I played. And I found the game fine, but I was playing War Machine and I just didn't. I was like, okay, this is like War Machine in some ways, and it's got some interesting ideas, but it just never clicked with me. And I kind of casually kept up with it, and I heard some things about Legion later that made me a little bit less than impressed. I played X-Wing, I played Armada, so I feel like they're solid games. They have potential. They've just never like grabbed me. And I love Star Wars, so knowing that, I mean,
one of the ones I'm kind of excited about is like it seems like the Armada community has been starved for attention for a long time, and they do have some new releases that are coming out at the start of December, but it seems like a game that if given a little bit of love, it could go a long ways.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Armada people will be happy with almost anything at this point, yeah. Which is, I don't mean to, but I really do feel like AMG has the potential to explode the popularity of those games. And I do think they need to be careful. I've seen Facebook posts where people are like, don't invalidate my models. And it's like, I mean, just rationally, they're not going to make you buy all new models for a miniatures game. That would be insane. But right. I realize people have no idea what's going to happen, and they're kind of worried. I shouldn't have been so condescending in my tone, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, they're not going to do that. So if you're like anybody who's listened to us is probably a fan of Marvel Crisis Protocol, and like, I just think it's
right.
It's one of the most engaging games I've ever played, and like all the models have like roles and places, and I'm so in love with Crisis Protocol that I'm just like, yeah, these new Star Wars games are only going to get better like in the near future. So like, I hope the first few updates or things that Atomic Mass games do, I hope like they just knock these Star Wars players' socks off and get them on their side really quickly, because for me, I'm like, yeah, it's nothing but good. I have already seen people complaining about the prices, like they're looking at Marvel Crisis Protocol and they're like, these are really expensive, and I'm like, it's $15 to $20 per model, which is the same price as your like Luke costs, so one hero costs the same, and they're not really comparable games exactly, but it's kind of a like the pricing is pretty close based on like hero prices, I'm really excited. I'm glad I held on to my stormtroopers, so I can maybe put them on the table again. So we'll see what happens.
Nice. Awesome. All right. Well, we've done enough pre-ramble. Let's move in and talk
Dr.
about
Dr. Strange.
Dr. Stephen Vincent Strange.
I'm so excited for this. Okay. So, I've thought about how I'm going to do this really quick. So, the reading part, he has the densest card in the game, and he has three, like, tactics cards. So, I'm going to... I'm just going to run through his card. But I think what we should do, Jay, is we should, like, stop if we want to talk about anything in the middle, so it's not just me reading stuff for a long time. Because normally I spend like a minute or two just reading it and then we discuss it.
Right.
But I think for Doctor Strange, it's too much and we have to chunk it. So he is 6 stamina on both sides. He is a medium move. He is size 2 on a 50 millimeter base. And he is threat 5. So right away, threat 5 leaders, that's a big deal. His defense is 3-4-4, which is good defense, like solid. So his normal attack is called Bolts of Bedevilment. It's range 4, strength 5, 0 cost. And after the attack is resolved, he gains power equal to the damage dealt. And then if it deals damage after the attack is resolved, you can push the target short. This is an incredible strike. Not only does it generate power, but it is usually going to push the enemy. It's energy type as well. I love Bolts of Bedevilment. I think it's really solid. His spender attack is Crimson Bands of Satorak. It's range 3, strength 6, and it costs 4. So it's very expensive. It's only 6 dice. After the attack is resolved, the target character gains the Stagger special condition. However, it has a really cool, like, Yahtzee effect. If you get a crit, a wild, and a hit, you trigger Mystic Binding. This one says, after the attack is resolved, instead of inflicting the stagger condition, if the target character does not have an activated token, you may give it an activated token. This attack is incredible, and the odds of getting Mystic Binding are not that bad because of one of his other powers. Because you get 2 rolls to chance it. I believe you have close to a 50% chance. If you're rolling twice, you have a pretty solid chance of hitting this. Jay, what do you think? On giving your opponent an activated token.
That seems really strong when you can make that happen.
So under my playing, even though I just said it should trigger about 50% of the time, in my experience, I feel like when I use it, it triggers the Crimson Bands maybe a third of the time from my feelings. Mm. But it's like mathematically, it's supposed to be more than that, which is really good. You're like, oh, yeah, your Kingpin. Nah, he gets an activated token. Oh, your Thanos. No, he can be activated. Here you go. It's incredible. The only downside is it's range 3. And even if you don't, you still stagger, like just you automatically stagger no matter what. So it's almost like it fucks up your opponent no matter what in a pretty big way. So he is a leader for defenders. So his leadership ability is called Mystic Empowerment. And it says once per turn, when an allied character declares an attack before choosing a target, it may spend 1 power. If it does, you may choose whether this attack's type is physical, energy, or mystical. If this attack deals damage, the target character gains the Hex special condition. So 2 things. Number 1, you get to give Hex out. Number 2, you can target enemy weaknesses. So this is really good against Venom. This is really good against, like, if somebody has a defensive ability that's usually physical or energy, you can turn it Mystic to avoid their defenses. So it's very good against Captain America, against Black Panther, against Ultron, you can avoid his Mystic defense by changing it to something else. I do think it's important that it is... So it says... I'm not sure about this 100%, but hear me out. Because it's when you declare an attack before choosing a target, if Loki tricksters and makes you change your attack, you do lose the benefit, and you have to use it again. So that is maybe one downside to it. Or like if you use Gwen and you lifesaver somebody and you have to make a new attack, so you would have to pay the one again. So that might be a slight downside to the ability, but I think it's a really good leadership. But some games you're not going to use it very much, but that's okay. He has. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
I like it quite a bit. A lot of characters have a stat that they're weak on, and then the status effect is quite strong as well. So I'm curious on your thoughts on it, but it kind of feels, I don't think it's like the upper echelon of leadership abilities, but it feels kind of middle of the pack to me.
I think it really does depend on who you're facing. I think it's really good against Avengers.
Yeah.
I think it's really good against T'Challa, so Black Panther, so like Wakanda immediately. I think it's really good against like the spiders. Hexing the spiders mm-hmm. is really annoying, and you can use Mystic to avoid spider senses, so that's really good. Venom, right. You do energy. So I think it's very situational, and I think if I'm your opponent and I know you're going to play defenders, I will avoid, like, I won't take Venom most of the time against defenders. I just won't. I don't want to, like, it's too easy to get rid of Venom if you have long range energy blasts, right? So, I might not take him. I might build so that I don't have characters with, like, a big weakness like that. So I do think it's situational. I would say it varies based on who your opponent is, but I've had so many games where it's just like, yeah. Oh, you have Venom? Well, Spider-Man is going to use energy strikes on you. I do think it also cranks some characters up to being really powerful. Like Hawkeye getting Hex and another status effect with
right.
Hawkeye is really good, because Hawkeye always generates more power than he can use. So spending one for Hawkeye
right.
is really easy. I think it makes Peter Parker much better because it allows him to like pick weaknesses with his attacks, and all of a sudden his attacks are much more threatening because you're, and also by round three, I feel like if you're playing it offensively, by round three, most of your opponent's team is hexed, and then they're not rolling crits. So his next superpower is it's a pretty cool one. It's called Oscar's Refuge, and it costs 3, and it says this character or an allied character within 2 of this character removes up to 3 damage. This superpower can be used only once per turn. So what's really cool is Doctor Strange can heal a friendly or himself for 3 for the cost of 3. So one thing with Doctor Strange is if he's only got 2 or 3 damage, he's going to heal it off him every turn, pretty automatically. In my games, Doctor Strange is almost like he has 20 stamina because I heal him so much. Like I keep him at range 4 usually, and I'm just blasting and healing him and using his other superpowers. So, pretty cool healing ability. I think it's incredible with Hulk. I've been playing Doctor Strange and Hulk a lot, and I just keep them 2 away from each other, and I just heal Hulk when I need to, and Doctor Strange kind of supports him. And it's been really, really crazy, and it lets those 2 control half a board. His next superpower is a reactive power called Hoggoth's Hoary Wisdom. When this character or an allied character within 3 is targeted by an attack, this character may use a superpower, and you add 2 dice to the defense roll. This costs 2, so it's pay 2 to add 2 to somebody's defense. This makes Spider-Man very hard to kill. This makes Hulk have a reasonable defense. This makes him be 6 defense against a lot of attacks. It's incredible. It's just a really cool defensive ability. He has 4 superpowers that are just always active. The first one is Eye of Agamotto. He may modify and reroll skull dice results, and he may reroll all of his attack or defense dice once per attack. So this is why Crimson Man is a Kotorak Sitorak is more likely to hit. Because if you roll to hit and you don't get the three, you will always re-roll those. And so one cool thing about this is the timing on it. So I roll all my dice, and then my opponent rolls all their dice, and then you add crit results. And after that is when you would re-roll your dice. So you know how many hits you're going to get on your opponent and what their defense is. Very cool ability. It really is a great offensive and defensive ability. And I think it makes Crimson Bands of Katorak, like, incredible. Not to mention his defense is bananas good with it. His next one is Shield of the Seraphim. Whenever he rolls dice, after the effect is resolved, he gains one power if he rolled at least one shield. Very good ability. Like Doc Strange and Shuri have it with skulls and crits, and it increases their power creation by a decent amount over 5 or 6 rounds. It's important to note that if he's interacting with a crisis scenario, that also counts as him rolling dice. So it's possible he can even, interact and gain the power back from interacting if he rolls a shield. He has flight. And he also has Gem Bearer for the Soul Gem and the Time Gem. The Soul Gem is, it costs 1, and whenever somebody within range 4 of you uses a superpower, you gain 1 power. And I love the Soul Gem. It's one of my favorite gems. And I just love things that make your opponent second guess themselves. And so being like, oh, if you use that superpower, you give me 1 power. I love it. I think that's really fun. Time Gem is the one that lets you make a third action. So Time Gem costs 2. And I personally don't like Time Gem with Doctor Strange. I think what he really needs is more power to pay for his Hogoss Hoary Wisdom and his Oscar's Refuge. So I think if you're going to take a gem, make him 6 points and take the Soul Gem. Don't do 7 points in Time Gem. But I can see, you might really want an offensive Doctor Strange, so maybe you want to take the Time Gem. I don't know. What do you think about the gems, Jay?
So all my playtesting with him has been done with playing without a gem. I think the 7 points is just too much. Although, I mean, I guess there's probably ways you can make it work. I don't want to be never say never, I guess. But I do agree that I think that the Soul Gem is, if you're looking at doing a gem, it's probably the better route to be going.
I agree with that. 7 points for Strange and the Time Gem, it's a really hard pill to swallow. I think when you give him the Soul Gem, though, he gets so many advantages. He's really sweet. Jay, do we want to talk about the 3 tactics cards now or save it for the bonus episode?
Let's save it.
So
we can start talking about some general thoughts, I think.
I think he's incredible. I think he's he's really well balanced. He's got a lot of team support, obviously. Like, his leadership is a really cool offensive leadership power. I love his 2 attacks. I think his 2 attacks are incredible. I think Oster's Refuge, being able to heal people, is just really sweet. I think Hogoss Hoary Wisdom, giving people extra defense rolls, is probably my favorite thing about him. Just because it I love Web Warriors so much, and I just really like Peter Parker with him. So I think being able to be like, yeah, Peter Parker is defense 5 with Spider Sense is really funny. I think he's great. I just think he's a really good character. I think he fits really well in Avengers. He's very versatile, but he feels like a support character.
That has a interesting question for you. So, basically the question is, do you see very many times that you take him where he's not being the leader of Defenders?
I think generally.
Like, it feels to me like the answer is usually going to be no.
Yeah, I think you might take him in Avengers, and that's it. I don't see him being a very... you don't see many out of affiliation, like, big chunky guys right now. So, like, MODOK is the one that people take in all sorts of lists out of affiliation. I just think
right.
taking Doctor Strange with 5 or 6 points of him, you want that leadership ability for one. And it's also partly because Defenders is a really diverse affiliation already, right? It's got a lot of really cool characters. You can build a lot of different Defenders lists. And so I think you want that leadership ability because it's so useful. And the other, right. I mean, it's worth just saying, right? I do think that there's some good builds with him in Avengers, though. I think that could be really a really like useful idea, just because it lets him use Hogos Hoary Wisdom for one every single turn, and I think that I think that's right. a big enough bonus that it might be a really good build in some Avengers lists.
Okay, well, we have a lot more to talk about on him in game. Basically, we have enough time, Greg. You're not even going to be able to do a synopsis. Just give us a teaser on the comic, and then we'll continue this discussion in the next episode.
You're killing me, Jay. All right. The comic is called Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom, Triumph and Torment. It is illustrated by Mike Mignola, the Hellboy artist. So that is one big reason that I'm in love with it. And it is that it is about Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom teaming up in order to invade hell and save his mother's soul. It's yes. so good.
Quick mm-hmm. side question for you. I read this comic arc, I enjoyed it quite a bit, and it got me thinking on what of all the characters that haven't been announced yet, we now have Deadpool announced. I was trying to think who is the most popular character that Crisis Protocol mm-hmm. doesn't have a miniature for yet. And the one that I thought of was Doctor Doom. And do you think that's correct,
I think it's Doctor
or do you think
Doom.
It's someone else?
I'm with you on that. I think he's such a he's such an iconic villain that he's one of those rare characters that kind of he's in everything in the Marvel universe. Like he's one of the main villains in the old Spider-Man cartoon show. Like he just crosses over into everything. Mm. So I think it's definitely Doctor Doom. I think maybe close behind him would be the Fantastic Four, though. Like, but I Doom is more popular than them.
I mean, it doesn't help the. So I'm kind of biased, but like the movies
yeah,
just
they're
have
so
been
bad.
Awful. And in general, like whenever I read the Fantastic Four comic, I'm just kind of like, oh, these characters are kind of lame.
That's because bad writers.
Okay. Well, there we are. So, Greg, tell us about the comic
so,
that we're going to be doing
next podcast, we're going to be doing Taskmaster. And I forget which one. I've been disappointed by a few of our comics before because I've been recommended them by other people, or I found them on like lists that listed as like one of the best examples of this character. So I pre-read this just to be sure. This is a really cool comic. It's Taskmaster from 2010, and it is really beautiful, really fun. It's 4 issues, so it's just Taskmaster 2010 issues 1 through 4, and it's 2010 because there is another Taskmaster comic that was not as good, but it's a really fun read. It's a really cool character study, so I like it a lot.
Okay, so check that out. We wanted to thank everyone who is backing us on Patreon. Again, we're sorry for the pauses. We should be hopefully have those ironed out now, and encourage everyone to back us on Patreon. It is a per creation backer level, so if we do miss a week, you don't get charged for that. But again, thank you very much, and we hope that you guys will consider backing.
Please back us, and
join us on our Discord and then our advanced episodes. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.